Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
Okay. This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and my guest today is Connor LaRocque, all the way from Sudbury, Ontario, Canada.
We're here. A little bit, real far away. It's a little bit cold over here compared to Newport Beach, I'll tell you.
So we this might be, I don't know if this is the first time we've had two Canadians on the episode.
It's a good thing. Canadians are always good, I like to say, hopefully.
Well, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you jumping on. I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get to know you a little bit and talk about what you're doing.
I really appreciate being here today. Thank you very much.
No problem. So for people that don't know, Sudbury, Ontario is northern Ontario in Canada, right? So you're like, right. What, about 4 or 5 hours north of Toronto?
4 hours north of Toronto. So not too bad. If you're flying down the highway 3.5, I can do it 3 sometimes, depends.
This is a conversation that I've had in my past somewhere.
Oh, I bet.
Like, how fast can you get to Sudbury?
depends what time of night, and depends if it's snowing or not. That's the biggest thing, I think.
And you've got quite a bit of snow there probably right now.
It's bad. We've been hitting temperatures of minus 50. I mean, even within the last 2 weeks, over 30 centimeters at least. So a good nice foot and a half almost. Yeah. Not good. So
for people that don't know, Sudbury is traditionally a mining town. And what is it, like 100,000 people? Is that, or is it bigger than that now?
Bigger than that. You're looking at about 175,000.
Oh, okay.
So decent. I think a decent, the last was about 160, but I think we're talking about 175 now. Yeah. So it's growing. So not too bad.
And then Connor runs really two businesses, right? One is a social marketing agency and one's more of like a sales agency. Is that right?
Exactly. So we have Socialize Revenue Marketing Agency. So kind of like it's a mix between like a digital agency and a digital branding agency. We do it all social media. You're like your in-house marketing firm. And then I have a direct sales company. So the direct sales we focus on, it's consulting, but we also do lead gen. We help with your sales, anything like that. So I have a primary client. They're known as Insure for Your Cause. So we're partnered with them, which it's lead gen. We work with charities and insurance companies. Two crazy things we mix together. Basically, to give you the context on it, anybody that gets a quote with Insure for Your Cause, we give $10 to charity. That's Insure for Your Cause. It's pretty wild.
It's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so now you were saying that you started your agency 2 years ago, right?
That's right. Yes.
And then, so what's your experience been like, and what motivated you, I guess, to start an agency of all things?
Well, funny enough, so I was doing sales work. I'd always been told, got to be a sales guy. They're like, you got to go into sales, figure that out. We did. Me and my brother. So my brother started a company. I joined him. We were doing door to door in minus 40. Can you imagine how terrible? Yeah, it was honestly awful. The worst time to start a company. Everybody I was going around, I do a lot of speaking, and I would be pitching them on sales talks, going in, working with their sales teams. And every time I go in, they would always say, well, do you know anyone that does marketing? It'd be like, okay, you can help us with the sales. Everyone wants to boost sales. But they'd say, hey, do you know anyone for marketing? So finally, yeah, I was following Ty Lopez online like everybody else that starts an agency. And I went to a buddy of mine. He does real estate. And I said, Tristan, I said, he's actually my business partner that we started the company with. Oh, and cool. I told him, I said, we got to start an agency. And just like that, all of a sudden we had Tristan. We got two other people involved to start the business. It didn't really take off in the first year. Like we had a couple clients, like very small scale. Then going into the second year, I was really starting to get involved in branding, marketing, all that kind of stuff. And we started to just pick up some decent sized clients. And that's when it took off. Going into the second year was I became the CEO. It wasn't just a co-founder thing. Tristan kind of stepped down, did his own thing. The other two people we started with left. I bring in actually another partner who's my marketing director now named Kaya. And she's like the Canadian guru I call for marketing. Wow. Yeah, she, not literally, but she builds the blueprints and does a really exceptional job. So it's nice to have her on the team.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you got a good crew there that have different skill sets, and you can kind of split up the work a little bit.
Totally. It's one of those things, right? I want to get to that point where you automate some of it, but focus on, you know, I like focusing on where the money's going to go. So if we have an advertising spend, it's like, I find, and don't take this the wrong way, Michael, we have, you know, the market will respond one day, but so many people are jumping into the marketing field, you know, doing social media marketing. And it's easy to get someone traffic and exposure, but the true like mastery level is when you see people can go in and can get the conversion ratio through. And that's the difficult part about marketing.
Yes, but for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So you want to, like, I focus on that. If we're going to do the advertising, okay, so how can I generate, you know, some return on investment for this kind of stuff? And it's tough. And I'm not going to lie to you, especially in insurance. Dennis, you told me point blank. He said, don't do marketing for
that's
insurance.
The worst vertical of you could pick.
Yeah.
That's so a tough learned. Vertical, especially, like, I think in Canada it might be tougher even. I don't know.
You got to watch. You got to see what you pump out there. And it's boring, you know, and I hate to say it.
It's not listening. Like an exciting growth product, right? Like, it's like, do I have to get it?
Exactly. You know, it's a necessity. So that's where the Insure for Your Cause has a little bit of a twist to where it's nice. So you basically $10 to charity of your choice. People almost are like, as if like insurance company giving back. They don't see it, right? It's like, so then you think it's easy, but it's actually difficult to sell it. And
Yeah.
So it's funny.
So you've really set yourself up for misery.
Oh, totally. That's great. Yeah, look though, get the smile, you know, I'm still good.
So is that the typical client that are you focused on insurance, or what's your typical client that you're working with?
So the typical, we're working between two different industries. So mining. So cause it's Sudbury mining town, oh, right? Sure. Yeah. We do a lot of the mining technology. That's where we're focused. Like that's where I see the market going for Socialize. But then we also do the insurance. Like I just have a really good client there. I will take on small firms or small brokerages if they need like a little bit of help. I'll show them. We have the blueprint for it. But I want to aim more technology mining. Like that's where it's going to go. So I try to, because the insurance is boring, but we do both. So it's kind of a really weird mix, you know, insurance and then mining. So those are mining technology kind of is where we're at.
So what it sounds like you kind of had an initial toe dip into the agency world. You tried to figure out what your internal structure was and who your customer was. Like, where are you guys at now, and what's your game plan going forward?
So where we're at now, so we've made it to a national scale. So with our clients, like a lot of them, they focus on a national scale. So one of them is a big mining client. Where we're focused now, like what I want to do is I want to branch out even more. I want to have a good hit list of mining and technology clients to basically be almost like a dominant leader. So to say, so if I go and approach a company, it's like we have the blueprint. Like it's like we have it all laid out on this is your customized blueprint, similar to what Joe Soto would say. For that, and then kind of grow it from there. Like that I want to, as much as it's, again, it's an industry people are like, oh, mining's kind of boring, but in Sudbury, and it's a huge industry. I've been
for
to
sure,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to help people in that regard to scale it out for the agency. But the actual focus and the end game with it, I haven't hashed out a complete plan, because now you're looking in where companies want to go direct, they want to go online. And that's another avenue I want to add into the agency, is like taking companies. I love this. I'm not going to lie. I like to sell, and I'd like to be able to sell even more online and say, here, let's take your business and upsell them and say, here you go. Let's bring some of your products online. We'll start. We already do the advertising. So why not incorporate the e-commerce side of it? It's so big.
Okay. So you would do like you, are you saying that you would build like their e-commerce presence and then help drive traffic to it, or?
Exactly. So we'd get them set up online. Like we'd show them how to do the e-commerce. So take, let's say like a mining product, a surveying machine, put it online, and then do the marketing and the e-commerce side of it. So build a Shopify store, get them on Amazon, put them into the right markets. That kind of stuff is I want to get more technical with it right now, instead of not the basic stuff, but I want to get more involved into that and become a real expert of doing that. I see like the trend where it's going, like everyone's in the agency space. But I see the e-commerce is just going to explode. And then even Gary Vee says that, you know, you watch the shift in the market. That's where I see myself and the firm going, is that we'll do the social media. We'll blow it up. You know, like Jeremy Haynes says, be the rain man in your city. Everybody knows you. But I want to focus on that, like really the selling piece, because that's the biggest thing. You go into any company, it's like, okay, here's the exposure. But, you know, where's the money? That's what I want to become known as in that realm in Canada.
I love it. That's cool. So what do you, like, who's kind of like your influence? Like, where did you, what made you think, cause you went to, you know, I know you went to university, you went for like law, I think you said, and something else, right?
Yeah. Oh, law and communications.
Communication, which makes, I mean, communication ties in obviously to an agency type business. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Did you ever work for anybody else before, after that, or?
Funny enough. So, if the original plan was supposed to be law school, and I was going to go work for a law firm. At that, I went to law school, but I worked for the bank. So I worked for TD Bank.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Great company culture. But through that, I went into the sales side. So in terms of influence, we're talking about who kind of influenced me at the time. I've always been over the last 7-8 years, the personal development industry. So I've really been invested in that with, like, you know, your Bob Proctor, your Tony Robbins figures. And then as I kind of got more well-versed in it, then Gary Vaynerchuk, as much as, you know, he's just hammering the same points, it's good. You know, I really liked his approach to it. I liked what he was doing. And then obviously started to see the, just here in my garage, you know, everyone's seen that here in my garage, you know, I saw him. And then, so Ty Lopez, those are your main figures I really liked watching. Ty was the reason I started the firm. It was the direct reason, not with the sales work, but the reason I went into the marketing firm was I was like, you know, there was lots of money to be made, and it was a way to become somewhat of an authority for older people. That's always been the problem I've had. You know, I'm only 25 years old, and you're going in and you're pitching sales stuff, and, you know, you're the expert, right? And you get these old kind of, some people have some egos, right? They're older. What the hell can you teach me? And then I'd go in and it's like, well, hell, freaking, I'll set up your account, we'll make some money with your marketing. And then they're like, what the hell? This guy's good, you know?
It's interesting because I see people sometimes, they say, oh, I got these sudden, you know, these 25-year-old experts, and they'll slam them online. And my response to that is always, I go, well, you know, sometimes you need someone with new ideas that knows what the new technology is and what's actually working. I go, so, have you actually talked to them?
Right.
And I think that's the big mistake, even people that are in that space where, you know, I don't necessarily think that the value I bring is a fact of what I did 20 years ago. Because what I did 20 years ago, maybe it helps influence how I'm delivering things today, you know, as someone that's, you know, older than you.
You still look good. You look young.
No. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my daughter's 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, you could be my kid.
Maybe I am.
Son I never had. I think my point to them is typically, like, well, if they're saying they're an expert, ask. Like, listen to what they're saying and decide. Don't just assume because they're younger that they're not an expert, because some of the people that have no barriers to success are the younger guys. And if I see a young guy that's doing something, maybe he's positioning himself as an expert for a reason.
Right.
If he ends up being empty and he's not bringing anything to the table, then evaluate that, right? But, you know, I almost want something that's hungry and wants to get results and maybe has success. And sometimes that's, you know, you're not encumbered by old ideas.
Right.
And that's kind of my point. You know, I think that it's silly to hate the young ones just because they're putting that out there, right? They know what gets attention. And the reality is that people are going to buy from you because you have that expertise. And you don't need 20 years to become an expert in something that's only been around for 5.
Exactly. I think you actually make a great point. And it's one of the biggest things. I think it all comes down at the end of the day is, like, you know, that the older generation, it's just, we all have egos. You know, it's the ego. It's like, I had to work 20 years to do this. And then now it's like, we have this thing right here. And that's the game changer. 15-year-old kid making millions. Like, you have that, it's that fast. Before, they didn't have access to that. I always ask my father, I say to him, and, you know, my dad's an executive type CEO, and he's done very well for himself. But I always say to him, I say, you know, you laugh at our generation sometimes and think, oh, these different opinions. But I'm like, what would you do if you grew up in this generation with a cell phone? Like, would you be the same? It's like, don't take this the wrong way for the audience out there. But I always say it, they're like, well, your generation's stupid. They were eating Tide Pods and all this. I said, yeah, but there's generations before us that, you know, women wouldn't be able to work. You know, they weren't able to allow, they thought that was the norm. Like, what the hell? Like, that's the norm? Like, that, you know, it's, well, yeah.
I always laugh at that because they're like, yeah, you know, I see other people like say, don't be another person that starts a YouTube channel. And I'm like, why not? I go, if you can do that, because have you tried it? It ain't that easy, right?
Right.
It's not easy to grow a huge audience and then, you know, have enough traffic and audience and subscribers to split revenue with YouTube.
Oh, no, you're right.
$5,000 a month being an Instagram, you know, influencer.
Right.
$10,000, whatever that number is, I have respect for you. And totally. It, you know, people like, can criticize those things, and I'm like, have you seen that one, there's a video that goes around where it's like a millennial job interview.
Oh, the girl, yeah, the young girl and like the older, yeah, I've seen that one.
And he's like, well, what about PowerPoint and all this? She names off these things like, well, what about PowerPoint and Facebook? And she's like, that's for old people.
Yeah.
And my response to that has always been, she's correct. I think there's actually a lot of value and power in Facebook that people don't get. And that audience to me is huge. Obviously, it's like, it's 2 billion people for a reason. And by the way, it powers Instagram.
Right.
So when I hear people like shoot down what they call millennials, first of all, you don't even know what the hell that means.
Right.
Second of all, they're the way they are for a reason.
Totally.
Like they're understanding the real world and you're understanding the dinosaur world.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you don't want to move with the times. The biggest thing too, I love your point on that, is that it's like, again, it comes back to just general mentality besides cell phones and everything. It's like people knock off Facebook advertising doesn't work. And I'm like, how many ads you ever run in your life? None. Yeah. Like, none. Okay, well, there you go. What are you going to, do the radio? It's like, okay. So I'll give you a joke, and this is funny. And I always call this out. I haven't done a video on it yet. I do it on my story on Instagram. So in Sudbury, we have those big signs that light up and they're interchanging, right? They have like different advertisements on them. There's like in front of like a big busy spot in Sudbury. The ad says 27,000 views in a month, impressions. I'm like, I can do that in a day like that for peanuts, probably for less. And I said, right. I'll hurt, you know? And then people are like, oh, the old school guys see that. And I'm like, here, let me show you an ad. I'll pay for it, for crying out loud.
Right.
Well, yeah.
It's funny. Well, I showed you, for example, like I've started doing restaurant episodes, right?
I love what you're doing there. It's unbelievable.
And I think, you know, I won't get to the specific numbers, but let's call it under $100, and I've reached 6,000 people in 48 hours. Right. So if you get the concept of a billboard, why would you not get this concept where I can go beyond just the impression? And that's not impressions. That's like people.
Right.
Right. And then there's interactions and then conversions, all that stuff where I can, you know, to your point, it is a powerful platform and it powers the, like if you talk to anyone that's 25 or under, what's the platform they're using?
Instagram and Facebook, or Instagram. No, 20 under. Yeah. Instagram. Yeah. Instagram.
Definitely Instagram. Right. So like right. I interviewed 75 kids for an internship. Well, I say kids because they're all still in university. Right.
Right.
And I asked them all, what social media platform are you using? Every single one of them said Instagram.
It's a big power, of course, yeah.
Well, and that's the Facebook ad platform.
Right, 100%.
So they've got the up-and-coming generation, and they got everyone, right? So I don't know. It's an interesting platform. And I love talking about this because, to me, it's like there's this misnomer that just because you're young, you don't know anything. But I think you actually might be smarter in some way.
No, in some ways, yeah, 100%. In some ways, you know, I think another part of that too is like, you're absolutely right. And just, I'm thinking of that one saying, it's a quote, but it goes on about like how sometimes you can be ignorant. We don't want to listen to other people. I think the other thing too, that like with the generation, in some ways, because it's become so easy and accessible that we become weaker in a way. Like, I don't know how to explain the psychology behind it, but I see that in some ways. That's like, oh, well, you know, we become, it kind of makes us lazy in that way. Cause you're like, screw it. I can just do it here. I know it all. It's the complex. I know it all. I don't need to, you know, learn that kind of stuff, but we need to get tougher. You know, I like the mentality I try to carry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, with like resiliency in the face of adversity. Right.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. And there's definitely some weird stuff going on in education. I mean, I think, and some ideas out there that, you know, the way maybe, younger kids were parented, right? So there's the helicopter parent syndrome and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think from talking to 75 university kids that are thinking of looking for internships, gonna graduate in the next year, I was like, wow, there's a lot of smart kids here, and they know they're in school for something that's not useful.
Right.
Because they all seem like the one was killing me because they were like, yeah, we did a case study on doing an Instagram campaign.
Oh my God.
In their university class, right? And I'm like, did you actually set up a campaign? No, we didn't do that. And I go, what do you think? They go, it's ridiculous. They know, they're not stupid, right?
Right.
They know that these, you know, they should be hands-on doing this stuff. Like right. If you drop $100,000 into a, you know, debt in a college education, why wouldn't they just take $100,000 and start pounding out like Facebook, Instagram ads and start building their plan, right? So they kind of know, like they know what the game is. Like they need they probably know more than the older generation, right? Like they understand what they're getting into and they're just going to adapt to the landscape.
Totally. I think that's the really good point too, is that the other thing that's probably so hard for, that's a hard pill for the older generation to swallow, is that the power force is shifting. You have kids like young 20, 21 year old kids making hundreds of thousands of dollars, even 100,000. It's like, you've worked so long to get to that level. And it's just, it's like, you become cocky in a way sometimes. Oh yeah. You know, or some people are humble about it, but it just shows. It's like, holy crap, my kid's sitting here with his cell phone and he's making a crap ton of money and influencing people. Whereas, you know, I'm at my job. It's a really interesting thought when you get deep into it. I think about that sometimes. And then the idea you're sold by the majority, and then you're like, screw that. Like, I see these people that I like to be like. I had a mentor of mine, Mark Lax. He lives in Newport as well. And he said, he's like, you know, he was growing up, I don't want to be like those teachers. He's like, I didn't like the way they were, like some of them. Like, some teachers are great, don't get me wrong. But he's like, I don't want to be a teacher, like making this amount of money and just kind of, you know, winging it by. He's like, I want to be like that guy, like the multimillionaire, you know, John Assaroff type figure. And that's what he did. And that's the thing. So, like, I think students, we have to have a program set in place in high school before they transition into university and put themselves in debt. They need that clarity piece. It's like, okay, go in. If you want to be a lawyer, easiest thing, like Ty would say, go into a law firm, go work with go sit there, you know, for a week and just see what the hell it's like. You want to sit there bleeding your eyes out, reading case law, just boring. You know, sure. Sorry if I went on a tangent there.
No, you're not. You're totally bang on. Like, I think you're right, which is, this goes to the education piece. I'm like, okay, fine. You went through 4 years of high school to prepare for 4 years in university. And we all went through that. Okay. But I think then you go, well, would I have been better to go to 4 years of university, or would I be better to have started four businesses in 4 years?
Right.
Or would I have been better to do four internships in 4 years? And those aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. You know, like, you could do both. I mean, I you know, a lot of that. So, but I think we're not giving people those ideas, right? And I think that's what needs to get out to the younger generation, because they're going to come out understanding the environment better, understanding the tools better, and they're going to deliver value in the real marketplace. And then the marketplace can decide. There'll always be prejudices and assumptions, but you can overcome those by learning how to sell and communicate, right? 100%. And your example of that, it's like, who cares? Like, what am I going to start working when I'm 30?
Right. No, 100%.
I start my business when I'm 40. Like, when do you want to give me permission to do it?
Well, that's the craziest thing, Mike, is that I look at it too, and I sometimes sit back, and it pisses me. It actually pisses me off, where I sit back and I, good thing I had a different strategy going in. Again, I make the joke that, you know, everyone was paying to go to school, but they were paying attention to their phone, right? And it's like, I always look at it. Imagine just being that student that you're sold this belief. You're like, this is the way. This is what daddy and mommy say you got to do. You do your 4 years, you get good marks, good grades, good groups, everything you're involved in. And all of a sudden you don't get that job. And you're like, what the hell? Like, that was what I was told would work. Yeah. Like, this is it. And you're sitting in a pool of students. You know, there's like, let's say 100 jobs, and there's 100,000 students fighting for it. Or whatever it is.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, you're vying for it. And then when you get in, you realize, I'm in this structure I don't have control over.
Yeah.
And are my ideas really valued? No, I'm very much a factor of production. I'm in a little silo and I'm given this job description, right? And I'm being evaluated so that I can move the needle forward on a larger entity that I don't own necessarily.
Right.
Now, there's benefits to that. Like, if you get into that and you excel, I mean, you can definitely, you know, you make consistent money. You can make a lot of money. You can get stock and all those things. So I don't begrudge any of that. However, that's not the only path.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, where do your values align, right? At the end of the day. And I was like, frick, I didn't want to be in that system. Like, and again, I always use the law example because it was in my life. Like, that's where I was supposed to go. And I met some of these lawyers. Some of them were super cool, but I was like, is this my life? I'm going to walk out in front of a judge every day and be, you know, who the hell knows? I was like, or can I be doing marketing and sales? And the worst case scenario is I go risk it for a couple of years, I blow it, and then I go back to law school, become a lawyer. Cause that's, right. You know, it's
like, always go back to that.
Yeah. You like, screw it, while I'm young, I got the energy and the connection base. Like, that's the biggest secret no one gets. Like, I don't get it. Just start connect, like us right here. We're on this call right now. Just start connecting with people, set up calls. Those people know freaking important people as well. So build a relationship, and then that's it. And just keep working the funnel. So today, example, just to relate the audience to give some value. I connected with someone online on Facebook. Her name was Jocelyn Duffy. She works with the Navy SEALs. Okay. So we connected. We set up a call. Next thing you know, I'm on the call. I'm like, I want to interview you. Come on the show. And then next thing you know, she writes for Psychology Today. She's like, I want to have you. Let's write. Just like that. Like, it's an article, you know? And then she's like, I'll connect you with this guy that's an ABC. I'm like, I'll connect you with this guy that's a CEO. Bang. And that's it. That's the process. That cost me nothing. a little bit of time and a great relationship we're going to build, you know, like even this right here.
And it's more exciting, right? Like it definitely, I think it gives you energy and propels you towards something more energizing, right? So I think there's, I think that people need to make sure that their kids have an idea that there's another path and then understand the tools to get there. And it can be a more fulfilling and more, you know, more fulfilling, like personally, but also even financially, you know, and it's not always easy. Like, you know, you can hit a ceiling too, but I think that's why I like listening to Gary Vaynerchuk and that topic, which is because he'll point out, it's like, well, if you're making 100 grand over here doing something you don't like and 70 grand doing something you do like, you're probably okay with the 70.
Right. Absolutely. Like, I got to give you kudos. It was probably hard. Like, I can imagine being a parent in the 21st century. Like, for you, it must be hard. Like, it's like you're so many different things. We're so exposed, right? And that's the thing. It's like, you know, everyone wants the money, no matter what they say they don't. It's like, oh, money doesn't matter. It's like, well, money's going to buy you some time and freedom. Like, that's what you want, that thing over there. That's, you need money. It's like, it's not the end all means. Like, you got to make the money matter. But at the end of the day, it's like, why the hell are you going to get an education? Because you love it. Yeah, that's one part of it. But no, you want to get more money. You know, and no one talks.
That's the funny thing. It's just, there's too many mixed messages. I think it's just, you've got to decide what your relationship with money is and what message you give to your own kids and even yourself. Because we have old junk in here that we got to clear out sometimes. And unintentionally, we have mixed messages. It's like, well, and then we hit plateaus for no reason, right? And the guy that doesn't have that mental message and his message is like, whatever, that's his limit, right? The mindset's super important for that. So,
no, it really is. I make that's my joke. I say mindset is everything. I wrote the book on it. I got that tagline. I got it before anyone got it. That was, I kept seeing it come up everywhere. And I'm like, I'd always been saying that, you know, and then I actually wrote the book on it and got it, not trademarked. Like someone else probably can get it.
The copyright.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's good. You know,
I love it. Okay. So, and that's a good point. So what's the book you wrote? It's called Mindset is Everything.
So I have two of them. So we're talking mentality and different things. So when I was in university, I actually published two books. So I, just to show, and I wanted, and I'm not saying they're good. Like I did my best. I put my heart and soul into it. So I have one called Life is Motivation. That was the first one. And then about a year and a half later, I wrote one called Mindset is Everything. So the Mindset is Everything one scaled a lot farther. We ended up in Canada. I hit the national bestseller list.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, you know, you just got to really sell a lot of copies fast. And so it was good. I got a lot of good feedback on it for the most part. But that's what built my brand and built, you know, where I eventually transitioned. I like Gary Vee said, I didn't want to be another 25-year-old life coach. That was not what I wanted. And the people I was studying were these entrepreneurs and these influencers and things. And I was like, I want to be like that. So I wrote the two books, became a speaker. And then through that, I was looking for avenues. So then I got into the door-to-door sales for 5 months. That didn't work out. I did an acquisition with my brother, and I started selling what are known as blasting mats, those big truck tire mats that people blow stuff up with. So that's how I got into mining, funny enough.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it just full circle. It's like, it was like it was meant to happen. They got that. I was selling with them, and then I started focusing on the marketing. And yeah, it's funny how things work out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so people can get those books on Amazon, or where are they?
Yep. So right on Amazon, just type in, so Life is Motivation or Mindset is Everything, Connor LaRocque, both Amazon. So .ca and .com. They're pretty widespread online. So
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. I'll send you one. No problem.
Yeah. Super. Likewise. I did. The podcast is obviously named after a book, which is Automate and Grow. But
right. I like that.
I've actually been thinking of changing the podcast name though, to just the Daily Growth Podcast, because I have the Daily Growth Show, which is the 1 minute show, and the podcast could be the long form. I think people are scared by automation.
It's true. It sounds techie, right? You never know.
I think that's
yeah.
People kind of miss the message a little bit, which is, I should have almost called it Growth and Automate. Grow and Automate.
Yeah. Well, hell, man. It, as long as you know you're enjoying it, and to see, that's why we do these things, right? To figure it out. Like my podcast is. It's a triple entendre. It was just one of these things just randomly happens. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to start a podcast because I went to a conference. And so Life on the Rocks is called mine. So LaRocque is the last name. We lived like Sudbury is built on a crater. It's a rock. And if your freaking life's on the rocks, we're going to motivate you.
That's great.
Isn't that funny? Like it was just randomly, I was sitting there one day and I'm like, Frank, what am I going to call this? And it goes well. A lot of people see it in Sudbury. Like, they know it. Like, they know me from it. So I'm like, okay, that, you know, it's a good, it La Rock ties in with so many things that I can make, you know, make good jokes with it and stuff. So.
So we got to check out Life on the Rocks too. That's awesome.
Appreciate that. We'll get you on the show one day. We'll talk about a number of different things.
Yeah, happy to.
Yeah.
So, listen, I want to be respectful of your time. I'm sure we all got stuff to do. And
yeah,
I'm gonna wrap up with two questions. One is, how are you, Connor, changing the world?
So that's a good one. So right now, how I'm changing the world, I'm focusing. I want to get people. So my whole protocol in life is this. If you can't find a job, create one. I want to be a big pusher for entrepreneurship. I'm sick of people believing and saying that we got to rely on the government for our jobs. No, it's the entrepreneurs. They're the ones that are going to build it. And I want to have a generation that's self-sustainable. But on that side, not being conservative in the sense where it's like, oh, it's just all about me. I want to have a world where we have the tools and resources to influence people and pick them up when they fall. You see that homeless person on the street to help them. Or, you know, use your tools that we have available to basically bring people up. We can do that right here. So you take an example of someone like Kim Kardashian. Good for her, makes a ton of money, does her thing, has tons of influence. She should be telling the younger generation that, you know, we should be giving back. The secret to living is giving. Like, she should promote that with her influence. She has more influence than the government in some ways to do things.
Sure.
So that's how I want to change the world, is I want to act as a figure to kind of boot the younger generation in the rear end and say, you can friggin' do it. You just have to figure out the strategy. What is your wow factor and sell? Where can you start? Always start, especially when you're a young student, start doing charity events. Start working for charities. That's where all the winners are, because they're giving back. They're getting fulfillment. You're building your brand. You can be 10 years old and be working for charity events or doing something with charity. And that's how you establish yourself. That's how you network. And that's your starting point. So that's how I wanna be that figure, is like the kind of guy, the millennial motivator coming in and trying to help the world with this thing.
I love it. That's amazing. Okay, so I really appreciate you joining us today. I think so if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
So you can either Instagram's good, DM me on Instagram, add me on Facebook, or email Connor@ConnorLaRock.com. Or LAROQK@gmail.com. One of the two, email. Any of those.
Great. And then what's your Instagram handle?
It's LaRock, LAROQK. At LaRock. Yeah, I know it's a little bit LA Rock. It's
former. We'll put in the show notes too.
Yeah. Former rap name, you know, LA Rock, you know.
LA Rock. There you go. You got it there.
Another one that I could pun off of, right? Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So the final thing we'll wrap on is, when we have interesting guests on the show, we want you to nominate other interesting guests. So who would you like to nominate to be a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast?
I'll tell you right now, the first name that comes to mind is my man, Jay, the Culture Man Duran. Jay Duran, this guy is going to blow up, and he's going to be a big hitter in the world. He's the real deal. No fluff coming out of him. He does a lot of research, and he's got a crazy story. I'll introduce you to him. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, and he's out of, not Pennsylvania, no, he's out of New Jersey. And he's starting the Culture Matters movement. That's the gentleman I want to nominate.
Okay, so Jay Duran, you've been nominated to be a guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. We will accept an introduction from Connor to you, and we will have you on a future episode.
The funny thing is with this, and I'll say right off the bat, so I saw our mutual connection is Brad Lee.
He
knows Brad very well.
Awesome. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I don't really know Brad personally too well, but I did meet him through the 10X conference last year.
Great. He's got some great content too. So, but yeah, we'll start like that. Jay's the man.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm excited about that. Connor, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Mike, seriously, thank you very much for having me on the show. Anything we need, we'll do exchange. I'll get your book, you get mine, and away we go.
That sounds great.
Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and we will see you on a next episode of Automate and Grow.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business.